You get the line, I get the pole, honey.
My honey.
You get the line, I'll get the pole, babe. You get the line, I'll get the pole. We'll all go fishing in the crawdad hole,
honey.
This is a fishing edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. Grab your fishing gear and get your questions and fish stories ready, because we are going fishing. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, June 20th. Summer officially arrives tomorrow. And besides swimming and boating and playing in Wisconsin's lakes and rivers, a lot of you will be casting a line out into those Wisconsin waters, hoping to catch a trout or a muskie or a bunch of bluegill. We will talk about the best places to fish in Wisconsin, what's biting, what to do with your catch, and our guest will have some advice on how to learn to fish or improve your fishing skills. So tell me where to go to fish, and tell me why you like to fish. Share a story about the one that did or didn't get away. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dan Small. He is host of Public Television's Outdoor Wisconsin, a half-hour weekly magazine series that travels the state covering a variety of outdoor activities. The show also airs on 9 commercial radio stations around the state. He is contributing editor of Wisconsin Outdoor News, a bi-weekly newspaper, and the host of Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. Good morning.
Morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Dan, I understand that you are joining us from a resort in the Northwoods.
I am actually sitting in the bar at Lakewoods Resort, looking out at Lake Namakagan, where a steady drizzle is coming down right now. It's a foggy day here, but it's a beautiful day anytime here in the Northwoods.
Oh, it sure is. Are you there for a fishing trip?
Actually, I'm here for a conference. At 9 o'clock, I'm delivering the keynote address at the Northwest Wisconsin Lakes Association Conference. It's going to be held at the Drummond High School, just a few miles up the road. So I wish I were here fishing, but I'm here on business.
Yeah. Well, I do appreciate you joining us as you are on business. And I understand that there's a little bit of drama getting a cell line out, but I'm glad that we got you in the bar. And is Lake Namakagan a good fishing lake?
Namakagan is one of the best lakes in the state. It's the largest lake in Bayfield County. It's about 2,900 acres, so it's pretty good size. And it has a good population of just about everything: walleyes, bass, muskies, northern pike, and everybody's favorite panfish. Bluegills and crappies are big, and they're pretty abundant here. So, yeah, it's a great lake.
Yeah. So what have you been hearing so far this this spring? I guess summer officially arrives tomorrow, but how's the fishing been?
Around the state, the fishing has been spotty, actually. The late ice out that we experienced, in fact, there was still ice on many lakes up here in the north, when the fishing season opened this year, as was the case last year. People are ice fishing on opening weekend in May, which is almost unheard of.
That's right.
This is Wisconsin, so it happens. The late ice out pushed everything back a couple of weeks. We were actually up here yesterday with a TV crew for Outdoor Wisconsin looking for nesting loons and hoping that there would be some chicks out with their parents, but we found one loon on a nest and several pairs swimming around, but no babies yet. We did see one brood of mallard ducklings with their mama, but everything's kind of slow. And in the fishing department, the bluegills are not yet on the beds up here. In parts of the state, they've already spawned, so everything's been pushed back for a few weeks, which means the good fishing that usually occurs in fairly early spring, sometimes before people get up north, that's still going on, and it's going to continue probably for another week or so.
All right. So yeah. So because of the long winter, the late spring, that actually that slows down the fish activity, and you're not really catching fish until they're done spawning or that sort of thing.
Well, it varies. I mean, it depends on the species. It's easier to find the fish when they're in shallow water spawning. The walleyes are done, of course, pretty much statewide. I'm sure they're done statewide now. But the bluegills and bass and crappies, they come in a little later when the water temperature warms up. And they're, in some places, especially up north here, they're still hanging off in deeper water where it's a little harder to find them. So that's what's going on there.
Okay. Well, so we wanted to talk about, we've talked before about fishing. I know we did it 1 year around Father's Day because that's a popular time to go out fishing with Dad. And I remember I have fond memories of my dad teaching me how to fish at one of the northern Wisconsin lakes during one of our family vacations. And we would do that just about every summer. But I was mainly just it was just a regular old fishing pole and a bobber. Is that still a popular way to fish?
It is. And in fact, it's a good way to get started because the bobber lets you see what's going on under the water without being there. If the fish grabs your worm or your minnow, the bobber wiggles or jumps or goes under, and then you know there's something going on. And in fact, people want to get started fishing and they don't have even a simple outfit like a fishing rod with a push button spin cast reel and a bobber and a few hooks, they can borrow that kind of equipment at lots of state parks and DNR offices around the state. It's available for loan, and you sign it out and you bring it back just the way you might rent a car or something, but there's no fee. It's just it's kind of on the honor system, so that's available. Not at every park, but at lots and lots of parks. The Devil's Lake, for instance, I know is one that has it, and others around the state.
What other types of fishing are there in Wisconsin?
We've got some of the best fishing for just about everything, every species that you might find in North America. The muskie, of course, this is the home of the muskie, the headwaters of the rivers up here, the Chippewa and the Flambeau and the Namekagon. This is where the muskies are reproducing naturally, where they grow big and they grow fast, and they're as abundant as you'll find them just about anywhere. Walleyes, although their numbers are declining, because some people say the climate change impact, there are fewer lakes where walleyes are as abundant as they used to be now, and largemouth bass are kind of replacing walleyes in some areas. That doesn't mean they're gone, but there's a balance that's changing. But walleyes are one of the most popular fish. Bass are growing in popularity, and of course the inland lakes are great places to catch both largemouths and smallmouths. And in our two great lakes, Shawamigan Bay of Lake Superior and Sturgeon Bay of Lake Michigan over Door County, we have probably the best smallmouth bass fishery in the world because of catch and release regulations and because of good water conditions and the care and attention that the DNR has put into the fisheries there and the response of anglers who enjoy the fishing, keep one or two maybe, but put most of them back. So they're growing big and they're lots of fun to catch. Speaking again of the Great Lakes, we have some of the best trout and salmon fishing that you'll find in anywhere in freshwater, and it rivals or even beats the Pacific salmon fishing on the West Coast. Trout streams, we've got thousands of miles of trout streams. Bayfield County has 400 miles of trout streams.
Wow.
When I lived up here, my goal was to fish every mile. I never got close because I found a couple of streams I liked, and I just stuck with them. We've got it. What do you want to catch? We've got it here.
We are talking about fishing in Wisconsin, and we're welcoming your fish stories. We're welcoming your questions. And we're welcoming your answers to the question, why do you fish? And what is the appeal of fishing? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And since this is the hour that I often ask you to tell me where to go, tell me where to go for the best fishing in Wisconsin. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I've been to Allen's Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldier's Grove, Hales Corners, Slates Corners, Abel's Corners, Newbrook Corners, Piper'sville, Pittsville, Deansville, Deansville, Reeseville, Janesville, Platteville, Orphanville, Footville, Blanchville, Plainville, Plainfield, Nutterville, Butternut.
I've been over there, hey, smell that dairy air, hey.
This is a fishing edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine. On the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, it's 20 minutes past 6 o'clock. We are talking with outdoors enthusiast Dan Small. Dan is the host of Public Television's Outdoor Wisconsin, and he is also the host of Dan Small Outdoors Radio and a contributing editor of Wisconsin Outdoor News. And we are talking with him about fishing in Wisconsin. What's biting? And where are some of the better places to fish, how to fish. We'll even talk to Dan a little bit about what to do with those fish. He's quite the chef. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Hey, Dan, you are at Lake Namakagan right now, and a rainy, foggy morning. Seems to me, Dad used to tell me that was a good, those were good conditions for fishing, are they? Rainy and absolutely. Foggy and...
Yeah, absolutely, Joy. A little rain... and a little fog, a little overcast is usually good because most fish try to hide from bright sun. They don't have eyelids. The sun bothers some of the different species, bothers their eyes. The sun also makes them more visible to predators. They cast a shadow and they stand out. And that's why a lot of fish feed at night, and that's why fishing is often good for many species at night. So when it's a cloudy, dreary day, not a good day to play golf. It's a great day to go fishing. However, the kind of rain that we've been experiencing here in Wisconsin and in west of us in the last couple of weeks is really bad. The Mississippi River is one place I would tell you not to go right now, and probably the Wisconsin as well.
Oh, because it's too flooded, or?
Oh yeah, it's at flood stage and getting worse and. It's just, you know, it's dangerous to be out on rivers at flood stage. We all know what happened to Lake Delton back in 2008 when we had just a little more rain than we got this week. It doesn't take too much to cause flash floods. We had a flash flood at our place in Vernon County just 2 weeks ago, and when I'm out of town, I check home every night, and my wife says, well, how much more rain does it take before we get another flash flood?
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends on how saturated the ground is. So a little rain is good for fishing. A lot of rain, not so good.
Oh, my God. And I was looking for a flash flood on University Avenue as I drove in to work because it was really raining heavy this early this morning in Madison.
Well, it could happen, yeah.
Yeah, let's go to Dave in Elroy. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Hi.
You asked why people fish, and of course, many of us fish because we absolutely believe that old saying that says, "The gods do not subtract from the span of life allotted a man that time spent fishing." So we fish, you know, to extend our lifespan. My other comment is that when I saw the promo for this radio program, I knew I had to listen because it said, you know, we were going to talk about the best places to fish. And, of course, no self-respecting fisherman ever tells anyone about his favorite fishing hole. We'll tell them about the lesser ones and actually try to distract them and get them to go there so they aren't where we want to fish.
Dave, thanks. So where's a lesser one that we can go to, Dave?
A lesser one?
Yeah.
Well, if people come here from out of state, we always tell them to go to the Dells, fish off the pier in the Dells. That's a wonderful place because, you know, there's already a lot of people there, so they're not going to get in our way. spots, and then we'll go up into the backwoods, you know, like Lake Lemoncogan maybe, or some of those streams up north, Wolf River. Those really good places we'll keep to ourselves.
Is that right, Dan? You got to keep the best fishing spots to yourself.
Well, to be honest with you, Joy, back when I started doing outdoor writing for the old Wisconsin Sportsman, I took the Northwest Wisconsin field editor position because I knew that if I were the one writing about the lakes and rivers in Bayfield, Douglas, Ashland, Iron counties, I could control what was written about them, and I never once wrote about the White River, which was my favorite place to fish. But I've changed my mind, and I've changed my attitude about that, and, you know, I'll say to Dave, I used to think that too, but now I say, hey, let's take the kids to the best spots, let them catch the biggest fish, let them have fun, and get them interested in fishing while they're young, because if we don't, when they get older, they'll have other activities. They won't be fishermen, and they won't care about the quality of our streams and our rivers and our lakes, and might make the kinds of environmental and legal decisions that lead to a decline of our waterways and our way of life. So I've done a 180 on that. Dave, I invite you to consider to rethink your position on that. And I'd like to say something about his first comment about God doesn't count the days spent fishing. Back when I was in my 20s, I remember seeing a letter to the editor and a photo in Outdoor Life magazine. And it was a picture of a gentleman who was celebrating his 100th birthday. Joy, he was standing in a trout stream, holding a fly rod in one hand and a fresh-caught live brown trout in the other hand. And the smile on his face said everything. And I said, when I saw that picture, I said, that's my goal. And Dave's right. You know, I don't know if God's counting our days when we're fishing or not, but you relax more. Of course, some fishermen are very tense and very intense when they fish. But if you approach fishing with the point of view of I'm having fun, I'm here in the natural world, and this is time that nobody's keeping track of, I'm not punching the clock, it's got to be good for you. It's therapeutic.
Yeah, that's Dave, thank you so much for the call. You are a big advocate, Dan, of getting the kids out there, learning how to fish, dads and grandpas, and, well, for that matter, grandmas taking their kids out fishing. Why is you say it'll train them to be environmental stewards too, but are we experiencing like in hunting fewer young people getting involved?
There is what's happening is we're not replacing the hunters and fishermen who are quitting or dying or just getting too old to do it with the same number of young people coming up. I think that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of young people interested, but kids today have so many other distractions. I mean, they have tablets and computers and phones that we never imagined having. You know, we wanted Dick Tracy's two-way wrist radio back when we were kids. Well, now every kid's got one, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're spending time doing those, playing with those electronic toys, and not getting out in the real world. They spend more time in virtual reality than in reality, and it's a little scary. So yeah, I'm an advocate of getting kids outdoors. Don't just take them once. Don't just go on free fishing weekend, which was a couple weeks ago here in June. But get them out there again and again and until they get hooked. And if they don't get hooked, well, maybe they'll be hikers or maybe they'll be mushroom pickers or something. But get them outdoors because that's where the real life is.
I see what you did there. Get your kids hooked on fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Tom in Burlington. Hi, Tom.
I'd like to make 2 points. the carp, I'm not talking about Asian carp. I'm just talking about the carps that we have in our streams here. And we have a lot of them. And at one point, can you eat them? Some people say you can eat them in the spring and in the fall. The next question is, when you get carp on your line, are you supposed to throw it back or are you supposed to get rid of it? And how would you cook it? Say there's a law that says you have to get rid of the carp or something. And is there another fish like carp that we have to throw on the bank?
So should you throw a carp on the bank if you catch it, Dan?
I wouldn't do that, and I would defer to the DNR regulations, and I'm sorry I don't have a copy right here in front of me. I know certain fish like the round goby, which is an invasive species and is not native to Wisconsin waters, you're not allowed to possess it. So you can't, if you catch it, you've got to just, you can't keep it. I guess you just put it back. Carp are invasive. They are everywhere in this country now. They're one of the most successful imports from Europe we've ever had. Another one is the brown trout, and that's one that everybody likes, or most people like. But I honestly, to answer his legal question there, I don't know what the law is. But I know you can't litter with refuse of any kind, and there's nothing stinkier than a 20-pound dead carp on the tank after a few days of 80-degree weather, as you can imagine.
Well, we're going to have to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe after the news break, Dan can share with us whether or not we should eat a carp and how to make a carp, if so. But we'll also welcome other questions for him and other favorite fishing spots and stories. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
You get the line, I get the pole, honey.
My honey.
You get the line, I'll get the pole, babe. You get the line, I'll get the pole. We'll all go fishing in the crawdad hole,
honey. Sugar baby, you're mine.
We will continue talking about the importance and the enjoyment of fishing in Wisconsin with our guest, Outdoor Wisconsin's Dan Small. And we'll continue to take your calls and questions and your fishing stories and favorite fishing holes in just a few minutes. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's time now for Wisconsin Life. Across the country, trained volunteers monitor the condition of local streams, lakes, and wetlands. Writer Mary Ellen Gabriel tells us about the stream she watches with her sons and the experience of doing citizen science.
Knee-deep in a cold stream, my son Hugh jabs a long-handled net under a log. "Look at this, Mom," he calls, holding up a tiny load of wiggling macroinvertebrates. After a few more hauls, he'll climb out and crouch over plastic ice cube trays, carefully spooning each critter into its own compartment. Then he'll pore over a laminated list of species. He's sure to see mayfly and damselfly larvae. He hopes one day to spot a stonefly larva found only in the healthiest of creeks. My boys and I are citizen stream monitors on Murphy's Creek south of Madison. Once a month, we drive a rustic road past Hmong farm plots and bur oak groves to a narrow bridge. We park on the grassy shoulder and scramble down to the muddy stream bank. Invisible from the road, we snap buckthorn and mash down jewelweed to create a tiny staging ground for our tests. Bennett stands on the bank, measuring water clarity. He fills a slender glass tube, almost as tall as he is, and peers into its depths. Meanwhile, I let the water out, little by little, through a plastic hose. "I see it," he calls, when the black and white target on the bottom swims into view. We take the reading. 92 millimeters. Our stream is always clearer and colder in the spring. It's funny to call it our stream, but we've come to think of it that way. Murphy's Creek, like most tributaries of the Rock River, winds through a 3,800-square-mile basin shaped by the last ice age. A century ago, Ho-Chunk residents fished and drank from these waters. Now they are exposed to runoff pollution from both agricultural and urban sources. Only a small portion of this watershed is regularly monitored by state biologists. Citizen scientists are filling the gap. I don't find stream monitoring all that easy, and sometimes not all that fun. I tend to be clumsy and inexact. On hot days, mosquitoes eat us alive. In cold weather, our hands grow numb. When we first started, I wanted to know, who will use the data? Nancy Sheehan, who recruits monitors for the Rock River Coalition, reminded me that being a citizen stream monitor is different from being just a volunteer. We gather the information not only for state agencies, but also for ourselves, she said. Of course, that's right. A citizen feels an urge to be informed. The more you know, the more you can do. As for the boys, they have their own reasons for wanting to do this. I think if you ask them what they remember most about growing up in Wisconsin, they would answer water. Lying on docks, peering down into secret worlds, floating on northern lakes, faces up to the sky. They link this work with their pure enjoyment of Wisconsin's clean water. And making connections is what citizen science is all about.
Mary Ellen Gabriel is a writer in Madison. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the hour each week when we celebrate life in Wisconsin and we talk about Wisconsin culture and recreation and travel and experiences. And today we are talking about a favorite summertime activity in Wisconsin. I guess it's year-round, but it's especially fun to be floating on a northern Wisconsin lake with a fishing pole. We are talking about fishing. And we are welcoming your questions about what's biting and where. We are welcoming your fish stories, the one that did or didn't get away. Tell me where to go fishing and tell us why you fish. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dan Small. He is the host of Public Television's Outdoor Wisconsin, which is a half-hour weekly magazine series that travels the state covering a variety of outdoor activities. He is also the host of Dan Small Outdoors Radio and a contributing editor of Wisconsin Outdoor News, which is a biweekly newspaper. And he is joining us not on a fishing boat, but at a resort on a northern Wisconsin lake, Lake Namekagon, telling us about fishing in Wisconsin. And, you know, we have, I'm not sure anybody wants to eat carp, but our caller just before the news wondered if you could. Is that something you would want to do, Dan?
Yeah, you can if they come from clean water. And before I talk about that, I love the internet, and during the break, I went online and downloaded the DNR fishing regulations, and I have an answer to Carl's other question about possessing carp and disposing of them. It is illegal to possess any live non-native fish species that are a certain species that the DNR is worried about, and one of them is the round goby that I mentioned before, and that's on page 18 of the regs. And then on page 22, it addresses his exact question, and it says, you may return rough fish, and they define rough fish as suckers, red horse, carp, and other certain fish. You may dispose of them you may return rough fish taken by hand or hook and line to the water, but rough fish taken by spear or bow and arrow may not be returned to the water. So you can't bow fish and shoot them, which is killing them essentially, and then dump them back in the water. And it says dispose of them properly. Do not leave them on shore or on the ice. So disposal doesn't say what to do, but disposal means might be eat them if they're edible, or take them to your garden and bury them deep enough that the raccoons and skunks don't dig them up, turn them into fertilizers, that type of thing. So there's an answer to that question, Tom's question. But as far as eating them is concerned, if they come from clean water, like some of our rivers and lakes, actually in southeast Wisconsin, there's a group of gentlemen, and I'm hoping to get out with them this year. They invited me to join them. They walk the Bark River, which is in Waukesha County, in August when it's low, and they drag a canoe, and they catch carp by hand. And then they, I think they eat some of those carp, but they also catch snapping turtles by hand, and they turn the turtles, the ones that are legal size, into turtle soup. And I'm hoping to do a TV show with those guys, because that would be a lot of fun. And it would be very similar in some ways to Mary Ellen Gabriel's story there about her son, finding out what's living in Murphy Creek. That's exactly the kind of thing a kid should do when he or she is interested in the outdoors. So So I guess that's a long-winded answer. The answer is yes, but you've got to fillet the carp, skin them, take the dark-colored flesh off the outside of the fish, and then you can smoke them. Some people smoke them. I've taken Asian carp that are not yet here in Wisconsin, but we bow fished for them in Illinois. I brought some home, dead, of course, and filleted them and cooked them up, and they were delicious. Lots of fish can be eaten if done properly.
Let's take some more calls. Our lines are full right now. Dean in Pierce County is with us. Hi, Dean.
Good morning. When I was a little guy, this was close to 60 years ago, our mail carrier always stopped and talked to all the little kids that came out to get the mail. And I was excited about catching carp at my grandpa's place down in Richland County. And he told me, well, do you know how to fix carp? I said, no. He said, well, here's what you do. You fillet it out, and you lay it on a pine board, and you pour some melted butter over it and sprinkle it with salt and pepper and whatever else you like on your fish. And then you bake it in the oven. And when the fish is nice and flaky and tender, you take it out and you scoop the carp off, you throw it away, and you eat the pine board. So
I guess that mail carrier didn't think carp tasted very good, Dean.
Well, he had an interesting sense of humor, and he was a neat fellow, and I'll never forget that story.
All right, do you go fishing?
I fish every day that I get a chance. I often say that I have creek water running in my veins.
Yeah, and what is, if it's not carp, what do you like to catch?
Well, whatever's swimming in the water. I fish for trout. I fish for bass, northerns, muskie once in a while. I'm not fussy.
Yeah. Fishermen aren't fussy, Dan?
Some are and some aren't. And, Dean, I've heard a variation of that story with cedar and oak. I think oak would be a little tough. But, yeah, a lot of people don't like to eat carp. It's not my favorite, but I have eaten them. And if you ever catch an Asian carp, I hope they never get here. But if they do, they're a lot of fun to shoot in the air with a bow when they jump.
When they fly,
that's
just amazing. It's kind of scary.
It is.
So what is your favorite fish to catch and eat, Dan?
My favorite? Mm-hmm. Favorite to catch is probably muskie on a fly rod, because I love fly fishing. It's a lot of fun, and the muskie is the biggest thing that swims in Wisconsin waters, and except for sturgeon, of course, and I don't know that sturgeon would take a fly, although maybe they would. I don't know. And it's just a lot of fun to catch them. I like to fish the rivers up here, the Namekagon, the Chippewa, the Flambeau, and I do a float just about every year with my brother, who flies in from New York State, and he lives in the Adirondacks. Some great fishing up there, and we get together once or twice a year to fly fish for muskie. So that's my favorite. And as for catching, as far as eating is concerned, I actually prefer sockeye salmon from Alaska, but I can't get them all the time. You know? But Wisconsin fish, I like northern pike over walleyes. And some people in the know, or people who know how to clean a northern, will say, yeah, they are tastier than walleyes. They have they're flaky, they're white fleshed fish, and they're very, very tasty and easy to clean once you learn how to get around those Y bones. So.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites, but my good friend Lee Kernan, who's retired DNR fisheries director, I never met a fish I didn't like, whether for catching or for eating. So,
I had a friend make up a pan of lightly sautéed, lightly fried bluegill, and I couldn't believe how good they were. It's Nick in Westville is with us. Hello, Nick.
Hi, it's Westville. West Bend.
Oh, I'm sorry, West Bend. Go ahead.
So we have a little stream that runs through in a county park there, Regner Park. And my daughters and I were down there. We frequently go down, you know, to the streams and ponds, and we were catching what looked like little freshwater shrimp. You know, if that's what they actually are. I kind of looked and they looked like a little invertebrate, but wasn't sure.
Well, would you have any idea what that might be in a stream?
How big were they, Nick?
They were maybe a half inch at best, a half inch, but you know, mostly smaller. Yeah.
And they kind of look like what would be like a fill bump.
Yeah. That's probably a scud. I'm not a biologist, and I know there's some biologists listening. If they got up this morning, because there's some guys here I talked to last night at the bar in Lakewoods, and we're going to be meeting at the conference in a couple hours. So if you're listening, biologists, don't laugh too hard. I don't know the species, but I do know that we do have freshwater crustaceans that are like shrimp, and some people call them freshwater shrimp, and they're too small for us to eat, but they're an important forage for lots of other things, mainly small fish. So that's probably what you got, yeah.
Thanks for the call, Nick. We are talking with Dan Small about fishing in Wisconsin, and we're welcoming your questions for him, your fishing stories, your favorite fishing spots. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Been to Auburndale, New Auburn, Berlin, New Berlin, London, New London, Rome, the other Rome, Franklin, the other Franklin, New Franklin, Richmond, New Richmond, Ridgewood, Woodruff, Woodford, Pleasantville, Pleasant Prairie, Sun Prairie, Star Prairie, Prairie Sheep, Prairie Sack, Black Flambeau, Burnett, hopping over there. Hey, smell that dairy.
This is a fishing edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine with Dan Small, host of Public Television's Outdoor Wisconsin and host of Dan Small Outdoors Radio, talking about the fishing season in Wisconsin, well, the summer fishing season in Wisconsin, talking about some of the best places to fish and why we fish. John in Rhinelander is with us. Hello, John.
Hi. I have a true fishing story.
Good.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime fishing story.
Well, what is it about one that got away?
Well, one that got away, but one that we caught.
All right. Go ahead.
Two fishes on one line. We had a 4-pound test line out. My wife and I were fishing right by the site, downstream on the Wisconsin River, below the paper mill. And you're just out having a good time, just spending the time. And we caught, all of a sudden, we got a fish. And it was a red horse. But as soon as we got it up to the dock, this huge muskie started swimming over and grabbed a hold of that red horse and would not let go.
Ooh.
So we had two fishes on one 4-pound test line. And she starts picking up her cell phone. Anybody got a camera? Anybody got a gun?
Oh, no.
There's no way you can catch that muskie without killing it. And then we ended up getting a red horse, and the red horse had all the scales torn off of his back.
Oh, so the muskie gave up, and you got the bait, so to speak.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, have you ever heard one like that before, Dan?
I have, and I've actually witnessed it. Fish eat fish, and big fish eat little fish. That's kind of the way things go in nature. And I have had muskies take a swipe at fish on the line. I was fishing in the Milwaukee River one time, which has turned into a great fishery. Actually, I was bass fishing, and I had released a smallmouth bass that was bleeding a little bit. It was still alive, but it was bleeding a little bit, and it was undersized, and I put it back. And about 3-4 minutes later, I heard a big splash, and here was a northern pike about as long as my leg.
Ooh.
Chasing this bass. It actually, it eventually caught the bass and ate it. And then I had another smaller northern pike attack, try to take a bass that I had on the line, and it was banging. I was waiting, and it was banging into my legs, and I got the bass out of the water and released it, and that fish got away. They were really in a feeding frenzy at that time. And I've seen it with trout. I've seen it with other fish as well. Big brown trout will sometimes take a small 9 or 10 inch brown if you're fly fishing at some of the streams in southwest Wisconsin where we've got big fish like that. So yeah, it's maybe not common for everybody, but it happens. I'll bet it happens every day in Wisconsin.
And we don't have to go into it in depth on regulations, but I'm assuming you're not supposed to take a gun and shoot a muskie that's on your fishing line.
You know, in the old days, the guy when muskies were caught and kept,
by just about everybody, and the legal size limit was 32 inches. One of the things a guy carried was a little billy club, and they called it a priest for administering the last rites to the fish, or a 32 caliber revolver or 22 revolver, and they shoot the fish before they bring in the boat. And, you know, there are a lot of stories about Ole and Sven and Ole getting the fish in the boat and then shooting it, which is not a good idea, because then you got a hole in the boat. But people don't do that anymore. And yeah. I'm not going to go through the regs here and try to find that.
Right.
Not a good idea to shoot a fish. And muskie legal size now is so big that most people catch and release them on most waters.
Let's go to Kim in Eau Claire next. Hello, Kim.
Hey, I want to quickly say Algoma is the place to go. I want to take you go salmon fishing, and they've got a great winery, and let's go.
That would be fun, yeah. You charter a boat and maybe go to the winery after the day on the boat. So a lot of you can fish for salmon around Algoma in Lake Michigan, Dan?
Algoma is one of the great salmon ports. I think it's the leading Chinook port in terms of poundage of fish caught or numbers of fish caught. But the trout and salmon fishing is great all along the Lake Michigan shoreline, from Kenosha all the way up into Door County and up into Michigan as well. I'm actually fishing out of Sheboygan a week from today with Dumper Dan charters. We do a couple of fishing trips for Outdoor Wisconsin every year, and I've got three scheduled with Dan this year, one June, one July, one in August. So I'm looking forward to that. Great fishing on Lake Michigan.
Thanks, Kim. It would be great to go. Terry in Menominee is next. Hello, Terry.
Hello. I really love your show.
Thank
today.
You.
I really don't have a question. I just want to let all the fishermen and the parents out there, I heard a judge one time say that of all the years that I was on the bench, I never had a kid come in front of me that had a fishing license. And I think that was really cool.
We only have 30 seconds or so, Dan. Maybe let you comment on getting our kids out there fishing.
Absolutely. Get them fishing and keep them out of trouble. I mean, that's how I got started, and that's how a lot of my friends got started. And I think what Terry said, there's a lot to it.
You're not fishing. I'm sorry to interrupt, but we are out of time.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Dan, for being with us.
You bet.
Dan Small, host of Public Television's Outdoor Wisconsin and host of Dan Small Outdoors Radio. Thanks to Robin Cherry and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening, and thanks for your fishing stories. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.